This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Cowboy Nation, how are you? Great show we're about to have here, my friends. I tell you what, I don't have anyone in my group today. All three guys have went AWOL on me, but before you guys all go crazy, I did find one person out there that I follow, and he's got a site out there called Cowboys Nation 88, and that's Barry Gibson. Barry, how are you?
I'm good today, Jono. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I got the itch, man. I can't wait for this damn thing to start. Even preseason, I'm looking forward to it now.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Cowboys Nation has been many years since we've been this excited about an upcoming season. I mean, I was excited with the return of Romo last year, but you can multiply that by, you know, a large number coming into this season. We are totally amped, and I agree with you 100%. We cannot wait.
And do you think, Barry, it's more the whole presence of this whole young team and with Dak and Zeke, you're seeing so much chemistry here. Then we got Dez out there catching the ball. Then we got one of the best tight ends, a Hall of Famer. I mean, Jesus, it's all primed and ready for us. I don't want to curse ourselves, and I'm going to knock on wood right now. But God damn it, we're so close this time.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, last year with the prominent return of Romo, about this time last year, I went on social media and I made the proclamation that, you know, Cowboys were going to the Super Bowl in Houston last year, and I think I was just a year premature. But with that season last year, you know, I hate to say it, but it was good for the young team to take that loss from Green Bay to be able to grow upon, and I think that's going to be what's going to get them over the hump this year, because that culture and that whole organization has changed. And I'm sure you can attest to that too, Jono, that over the years we've kind of had this culture of overpaying players, them under-delivering. And now with the youth that are coming in with the draft, you know, the folks that we signed over the last couple of years that have earned their star and put in major work, that whole culture of that organization with the leadership of Dak, you know, coming in and setting the tone for that organization, it is going to be phenomenal this season.
Would you say, Barry, that Green Bay is the one game, that one team that we have to get by? This is the team that I feel is the gateway to us getting past everything. We got to beat Green Bay. And this is what they went through maybe in the 90s. You always seen them. We used to always beat them in the championship, NFC or something like that. Now it's like the roles have reversed here, and we have to get by Green Bay to get to that next level.
I think it would be easy to assume that considering what happened last season, Jono, but to tell you the truth, the performance they put on after they beat us and how they got knocked out the next round last year, I don't really think they're that team. I think they were at that time. That whole game, I mean, you could probably do a whole show on that one, but you know, we just got behind and we got out of our game plan and some things happened, but the Cowboys, they fought, they got through some adversity, stayed in the game, and it's just the difference of inches in that one play that set them up. So, you know, we have brought some youth in with our defense this year. I think those guys are hungry. They're going to earn their star this training camp, and they're going to come in there and going to make a difference because they're hungry and they know the culture of that organization and what the star means there in Dallas and to the league. These kids are going to put on some great shows, I believe, this year. They've got a lot to prove, and I think that's just going to create synergy among the team on the defensive end that's going to carry the offensive end, which where we had, that was the majority of, you know, now, not to discredit our defense last year, they did very well, but I think coming in this year, I think we're going to be retooled with the addition of Jalen, those young kids in the secondary, just that culture of an organization to build on, and I expect higher, you know, production on the defensive side of the ball this year because it's going to be awesome.
Are you looking at any defensive player, a veteran type, that will make a better appearance? I mean, stand out more and get more vocal. You know, we've always had I can't even say that. We've had Sean Lee, but I've never really seen Sean Lee go crazy like a Mark Gasson or something like that, you know. Do we have anything like that, anyone like that, that can just demand the team just rally around him or rally around the defense?
Well, provided that, you know, the reports that we're getting on Jalen are as positive as they are and he can come out and at least do 80% of what he's capable of doing prior to that injury, I think that's going to, you know, between him and David Irving, along with Sean Lee. I mean, Sean Lee is prominent. I think he still has a chip on his shoulder that he had to get a consolation to get into the Pro Bowl last year, that he didn't get voted in with his performance. So he's going to play at another high level this season. And I think that's going to set the stone, you know, set the tone for both David Irving and also, you know, Jalen Smith coming in. So, I mean, that kid's a beast. And, you know, you put them guys clicking together on the same side of the ball. I mean, the secondary is – I mean, those guys are going to be getting after the quarterback. The secondary is going to be young, and if they can just hold their ground, I think that we're going to see leaps and bounds on the defensive side of the ball. I'm really predicting that, you know, everybody's discrediting Dallas's defense, which rightfully so. They got us, you know, knocked out of the playoffs with that one play, but that's just one play. But I think coming in this year, they're going to have a bigger impact as a unit. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. I think they're going to be a top five rated defense this season coming in.
Well, I can only hope, and The defense right now looks like the old type of 90s defense, a 93, 94, 95 type of defense, to where it all relies on speed. And there's not one cat out there that just stands out over everyone else. Maybe Deion did back then. But right now you have a defense that just works good together and seems like we're basing everything on speed like we used to.
Yeah, I think those guys are really going to work hard this offseason. They're already doing that in OTAs. I'm leading into training camp. I'm excited. I'm probably going to be in training camp down there a couple of days in Oxnard because I believe it's the last year they're having it there before they move to Frisco next season. So
we
got to
call you.
Up close.
Yeah, we got to call you when you're down there. That'd
Excellent. Most definitely. So I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of results are going to be there on display. But you're right. There's this. I mean, Sean Lee is the leader of that defense, and he's always set the tone for that side of the ball. Now he's got some contributing players there that can really contribute where he's not, you know, making every play, which always it seems like he's at the ball every time on every play. And they know that on the offensive side of the ball, those guys are going to carry their weight. So it's going to be an even exchange. I think the chemistry is there, and I think we're going to see something we haven't seen in a number of years with Dallas Cowboy football. That's balanced on both sides between the offense and the defense.
Amen, brother, because you know what? It's always been like once they get third down and seven, third down and eight, you knew it was something was going to be thrown the Carr's way or Claiborne's way, and Claiborne with his holding, it drove me crazy. And Carr is just that whole, I'll give him 3-4 yards and then hope that God, I could come back and get him. That just doesn't cut it, man. And I'm glad the Cowboys went out and looked for 4 or 5 cornerbacks for this season, for the future of the Cowboys.
And that's just going back to the culture changing. Now, traditionally or historically, we would have paid some, you know, under delivering player a subsequent amount of money that was going to go against us and hurt our chances of signing free agents. Where now it's the culture of you earn. You gotta have to earn. We're not just gonna pay you just because you're a name or because you know we need you. Now it's they're building that culture of, you know, earn it, you know, and be here for the long haul. And it's about the, you know, the goal of the team. It's not about any one particular player. So they've let players go, which were questioned by a lot of our fan base during free agency and why we didn't make any big splashes with names or moves, but the Dallas leadership has got this plan, and you got to give them credit. Over the last couple of years, 3 years, they're executing it to a T. They're making the team better through the draft. You know, they've got a culture of winning after last season. Now, you know, beginning of last season, if you'd have told me that would have happened with Dak and all of that, that's like I said, you know, I was saying that Tony was going to lead us all the way because, you know, with Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, you know, I was questionable about Zeke on drafting him. I didn't think as a rookie he'd have that great of a season. And that's just the fantasy football player and me talking. But, man, after that third game, I mean, he took off. And, boy, was I happy because, you know, a lot of people were questioning why we went after our offensive player last two drafts ago when We should have been addressing the defense, but we went, I believe, what was it, 7 out of 9 picks this year were on the defensive side of the ball. So their strategy long-term and the vision has been executed by the leadership, and it's great to see it all come together.
Well, you're so right about that, pal. Now, going to your site, I found you folks, Cowboy Nation 88. You've been you're the administrator. You're the one that put this thing together. And I tell you what, folks, if you're out there and you're looking for a great Facebook site, I think Barry's is one of my top plays here. Cowboys Nation 88, and hit a big like on that. How'd you ever come about this?
Well, just to kind of give you a little correction there, at Cowboy Nation 88 is a great group also, but mine is the official America's Team, or OAT, O-A-T, and it's the legacy group. And the reason why I, you know, came up with that last season was I, you know, posted a video on Facebook, and I put myself out there and said, hey, Dallas Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl this year. And everybody's like, whatever. So I created this group because my vision was I wanted to create – a group on Facebook to be formed in the same season that our team would go to the Super Bowl and win, and dubbed it the Legacy Group, because there, you know, I was trying to differentiate our group from other groups because there's a ton of great groups out there, but we grew fast. I think we're over 10,000 members now. We've got a fan page.
I'm one of your guys.
Team. Yeah. That's how I found your podcast and got connected with you there, Jono. But the Legacy Group, it's, you know, we totally respect everybody in there. We got a great thing going in there. There's a lot of great fans. At Official America's Team on Facebook. Official America's Team on Instagram. It's just a great group of fans.
And I love the way you give props to your fans too. You give that star thing there. You hand out those stars. That's kind of cool. Yeah,
Yeah, that's just group branding. You know, we want everybody to be proud of what they're associated with, and you know, the Legacy Group nameplates, that's just for members that, you know, that are there and show their loyalty not only to the store, but, you know, to our group, for being respectful to everybody. Because there's, you know, on social media, there's a lot of hate that gets spewed. And, you know, you got your trash talk groups, and I'm a part of those, but I don't have time to argue with folks 30, 40, 50 minutes a day on my phone about particular issues. Just can't, it's not educational. So
they're not going to,
we got the group. We all respect each other there. So
they're not going to change your mind. You're not going to change their mind. And, you know, but I got to tell you though, more people that I argue with are probably the Philadelphia Eagle people.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have really anything to hang their hat on, you know?
I know.
So, you know, and everybody wants to mess with, you know, Dallas because we've not done anything significant in their eyes since the 90s. And, you know, last time I checked, there's no expiration date on those Lombardis. And then, you know, it just now they want to discredit. It's every little thing. Like, we posted a video on our site today. It's getting a lot of traffic. It's the education of haters on Zeke, on why – it's not just the offensive line that he's so successful. You cannot ignore the fact that that kid got 900 yards after contact. So the offensive line was key. But, I mean, this guy's got more yards after contact than most running backs got total yards in a whole season last year. So you can't just discredit him and say, oh, he's only great because, well, Darren McFadden ran for 1,000 yards there. You know what I mean? Alfred Morris was there. But, I mean, Zeke's skill set is what makes him Zeke. You can't discredit that guy. So, yeah, you don't want to argue with people on, you know, about our team on there. They just don't have anything to match us with. So they're going to nitpick everything.
Right. Barry, how did you ever become a Cowboy fan?
Well, easy. My mother was born and raised in Dallas. I grew up in I was born in Georgetown, Texas, about 40 minutes north of Austin. Mm-hmm. And my father was from Oklahoma City. They went to high school together there in Leander, Texas. And then, you know, we lived there. I went to my first game at Texas Stadium there in 1985. I posted pictures of, you know, me in my classroom picture with my shirt on after the game there. You know, it was relevant proof because a lot of people, I live up here in the Pacific Northwest near Seattle, and, you know, I got a lot of hate from people. Well, how are you a Cowboys fan and you're not even from Texas? So I never understood that whole how can you be a fan of some team if you don't live in one, you know,
right.
You choose whoever you choose and you root for them. But yeah, I was born and raised there. So in 85, I went to my first game, and, you know, it was actually against the Chicago Bears. That was the Super Bowl shuffle year that they went and won the Super Bowl, and they had the video and were dancing.
Man,
they beat us 44-3 that game.
They kicked
our
butt.
Yeah, they beat us like 44-3 or something like that. And I was, I think I was 11 years old, 12 years old, and I was still screaming, even though we were down 40 points. And my mom and dad were looking at me like, you know, what are you doing? You're like, we're losing. I'm like, I don't care. You know, and that's what I'm thinking. It's like, why is everybody looking at me crazy? They're like, sit down, kid. I'm like shouting at the top of my lungs.
Right.
And it's just carried over. Every Thanksgiving, our family, we watched Cowboys, you know what I mean? And then
right.
obviously through the 90s, and then that was when I joined the Navy in the late 90s and, you know, retired being a Cowboy fan. So, you know, it's rooted deep, man. It's in my blood.
That's right. That's right. One good thing about that game that you got to see live in person, you got to see Walter Payton. I mean, that –
Yeah,
he'll always go down as one of the best backs ever, and
yeah,
I mean that you've always heard. What if Walter Payton had, or Barry Sanders or Walter Payton had that offensive line that the Cowboys did? What would have happened then? I mean that just goes to show you how big of an arsenal that was, having Walter Payton back there, sweetness. So you got to see him,
yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. It, you know, there was no social media or, you know, ways to, you know, people toting in VCR, you know, tape recorders back then. So, you know, you'd have to check it out on YouTube right. if they've got it archived there. But not to compare our running back to, you know, Walter or Barry. Those guys were great in their time, and I agree. But what about Zeke in this offensive line? You know, what is he capable of? And you look at last year in his rookie season – and now you look at coming in here another year, a year under his belt with that offense. And now we've seen, you know, reports of Zeke stating he wants to get more in the offensive passing game. I mean, we've got some weapons. You know, I think Dak is the right quarterback with the elite arsenal that we have on the offensive side of the ball. I think we're going to see some record numbers from not only Dak but some offensive players this year. And then now with the coming on of Rico Gathers, there's a lot of hype, you know, surrounding this kid right now. He played basketball at Baylor. He's a big kid. He's been taking notes under Jason Witten's tutelage the last year. I expect big things. I mean, he could be typically, you know, comparing somebody like him to like the Gronkowski of the Cowboys, you know, and I hate to use another wow. player's word, but to kind of put it in that sense, I think the kid's got incredible athletic ability and what he can bring to the table. Now, Jason Witten, we know, old reliable. That was Tony's safety net for a number of years, and, right. and not to discredit Jason Witten, but the guy's a great player. His work ethic is there. He's been the consummate commensurate standard for, you know, Dallas in terms of that locker room. But I think, you know, Rico is going to benefit a lot from his tutelage and with Dak and his cerebral approach to the offensive line. A lot of people don't understand Dak has got a master's degree, I believe, from Mississippi State in organizational leadership. Go
no,
figure.
It's amazing. The kid's got his head on the right way, and he's been through so much tragedy with his own personal life, and the way he's come up and the way he's come up swinging. And God bless him, man. I only praise people like that. You know, he could have went the wrong direction, and he chose. You know what? I'm gonna build off of this. I'm gonna do what my mom had taught me to do. Just hang in there, be strong, and God bless. You know, a lot. You could learn a lot from that man.
I mean, his story is incredible, and it's inspiring, you know, and that's just what makes him that much better. But he answers every question with poise. I mean, he's just very well spoken. All the media reports you see about, he's doing everything that he needs to be doing because, you know, all of our players are under magnifying glass. When they, you know, drop some groceries out of the bag at the grocery store, somebody's reporting about it on TMZ that, oh, you know, they dropped, right. you know, whatever is, you know, how minimal it may be. But, I mean, his story is incredible just from his childhood and, you know, with his mother, Peggy, you know, rest her right. peace, you know, rest her soul in peace. And, you know, just how he's been launched into the, you know, the stage of last year. And
yeah,
it's been incredible to watch. It's just, it's exciting times as a Dallas Cowboy fan right now on all levels.
You're so right. You're so right. But you know what? I got to mention this to you, and you tell me your take on it. Yeah, we've seen running backs like Zeke in the past. This may be a little bit more out of your time. I used to see like a guy named Christian Okoye. I used to see Earl Campbell. These were violent running backs. And Zeke, you know, for his size, he lays the wood on you. I mean, if you're going to tackle him, you're gonna get hit. And how long can a guy like a Zeke take on this type of role? I mean, are we looking – couple of years? Are we looking 5 years? Talk to me about that.
I mean, barring any significant injury, and I hate to say that, let me find some wood and knock on that. But the kid is just young. He's flexible. He invites contact. I mean, if you go to our page, the Legacy Group on Facebook, and you look at that video that we posted today about how to educate a Zeke hater on why the offensive line was not the ultimate reason for his success, it shows that, you know, there's a narrator in that video that explains everything about Zeke last season and what he brings and why he's going to be even more successful this year. But he's addicted to the contact. If you look at when he runs the ball, he doesn't run out of bounds. He stays in bounds and looks for the contact.
Right, right.
You know, that's special, and that just lets you know that's why he gets as many yards as he gets, is, you know, yards after contact, and just not, you know, doing those little things. So, of course, there are going to be folks that are after him. They're going to try to take him out. You've got those dirty players. I mean, everybody's going to try to find a way because you can't stop him. I mean, no defense really stopped him for that much. Even when they did, he was right at 100 or a little bit under 100 yards, and if you call that stopping, then – you know, you don't understand football, but the kid's going to run for what he's going to run. Now, last year with those three games before he took off on his run, I mean, if you think about it, if he'd had played at that high level all season, he probably would have broke Eric Dickerson's record. You know, and we took him out a couple of games there, I think, at the end, and he sat out some time, but I think he's really going to be gunning. I mean, he can't break it as a rookie, obviously, now, but I think being the all-time rushing leader, I mean, the kid invites contact. So, barring any significant injury, I think we're going to see record numbers from him over the years.
No, there's no question about it. And every little thing he does, when he does that, I don't know, last year he did a flip into the end zone. I'm like, dude, please, please just get up and don't hurt the shoulder.
Everything. That whole jumping and landing on your back or doing flips, yeah, it's just the kid's spunky. He's got a lot of energy.
Right.
But yeah, as a coach or as a fan, you're like, dude, slow down.
Yeah, we've seen this before.
Freak accident, yeah. I mean, you've seen guys celebrate and tear ACLs in the NFL, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So anything at any point could happen. But, I mean, you got to love his infectious attitude. He's a lovable guy. Obviously, you see Dak and Zeke throughout the offseason. They were just at the recent fight, I think the Canelo fight or whoever fought. I didn't watch it, but I seen a social media post about them there at the fight. They hang out. They've got a great bond. I think that's great. And as long as Zeke can, you know, stay out of the limelight off the field in terms of a negative way, which we've seen in the past, you know, I think him being that close to Dak, that's going to rub off on him and keep him on the straight and narrow so them guys know what magnifying glasses are on them.
Now, with Tony Romo retiring, was that like the best thing that could have happened as a Cowboy fan? I could not see him, Barry, I could not see him wearing a damn 49er helmet or any other helmet. I wanted him to possibly go to Houston, and then if you go to Houston, you know what? That's fine. They're not AFC, and you know, if they want to make a rivalry, a big deal. But I did not want to see anything with a Green Bay helmet, whatever, you know what I'm talking about. And it was good to see him retire.
You want to know my real honest opinion on this?
Talk to me.
So I wrote a piece last season on my blog, officialamericasteam.com, and it addressed how we might see Tony get inserted back onto the playing field, and then that was going to be the subsequent run for us to get to the Super Bowl, because we had to parlay it because Dak came in. And I wrote an article on it called How Jerry Jones is Playing the Ultimate Game of Texas Hold'em. And basically, you know, there could have been times where Tony could have came back, but because of Dak having success, he obviously stayed in the game. I predicted that he would come back in the game against Philadelphia. I didn't predict that we would have as many wins, but I predicted he would come back in the game in Philadelphia. I was right on that part. But I was also I predicted that he would carry us through the playoffs because I thought that maybe – that would be the time that we would see Jerry revert to the old Jerry and his affinity for Tony to come back in. Well, fast forward, we obviously got beat in the playoffs. Now we come to this year, Tony, he doesn't retire. He steps away from the team. He's supposed to be going to whatever network to be a sportscaster. But Tony Romo has not signed retirement paperwork yet. So if you see this video that was recently posted about Jerry, and he was asked, are they going to plan to do anything for Tony? When is Tony, you know, kind of what they did with DeMarcus Ware? And Jerry danced around the whole conversation in typical fashion and said pretty much everything that at some point we're going to do it. We just don't have anything planned now. Now, my theory is, and I'll, you can hold me to the fire on this, until he signs retirement paperwork, my theory is there has been an agreement between Jerry and Tony, because we know that their relationship is very close. Tony didn't go sign with another team because of that relationship and how deeply entrenched he is in the right. Dallas area. And for his legacy to go to another team would be tarnished forever, because he could A, get hurt, B, not go and win a Super Bowl. It's just his story doesn't seem fitting to
right.
end that way.
Right.
So
right.
he goes, steps away as an insurance policy to give the team to be able to do. Now, I don't know the numbers. I'm not a salary cap guy. I don't understand budgeting for teams and things. I don't look at those types of things. I'm not that kind of fan. But I pay attention to what people say and what people do, mainly what people do. And if Tony doesn't sign that retirement paperwork, I think, God forgive him, that if Dak were to get hurt, we would see Tony come back, unless, A, Tony signs up paperwork, or we go out and draft a formidable backup or a veteran quarterback that could take over. Because if Dak gets hurt now, who do we got? Kellen Moore.
Right.
Who else?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody is there essentially to take over that offense, you know, and it would be a knee-jerk reaction. So I think they've parlayed that game from last season to this season. I think Jerry's still playing Texas Hold'em with the media, with the fan base, you know, with the whole organization, that Tony does still want to play, but Tony wants his legacy in Dallas. And that's why he left the way he did. And until he signs that paperwork, that's my thoughts and my theory on that whole thing.
No, that's beautiful. And that's exactly what Travis, I had him on last week, and he said the same thing, man. And you know what? I like having that. I like having that wild card in the deck that I can go to if I need that other ace and there's no more aces out there. I could rely on that. Sure, why not? And that's beautiful. Why didn't the Cowboys address the quarterback position somewhere in the draft, why couldn't we have picked up another QB somewhere?
Why, if you don't need to?
Well,
I mean,
you know,
it just adds fuel to that conspiracy fire.
Right,
you know,
right,
the
right,
whole
right.
Kaepernick thing surfaced, but now I live up here in Seattle, and they're already reporting that the locker rooms came out and showed support for Kaepernick. He's likely going to be a backup for Russell Wilson up here. So I pay attention to talk radio up here. It's a good possibility. I mean, I didn't want that whole fire to be thrown on what we had going. I think that would be, you know, just from a whole emotional, how people feel culturally and their upbringing, political agenda, whatever they believe in, that would be a total distraction for what we're trying to do. But I honestly think Jerry and him have something up their sleeve.
You're
in
right.
terms of Tony coming back, you know, and you've heard it here first. I wrote that piece on OfficialAmericasTeam.com last season. I projected when Tony would come back. We just didn't win the Super Bowl. And then I wrote a piece when I seen this video, would Jerry come out? Did he leave the door open for a Tony Romo return, because he hasn't signed that paperwork? And the way he answered the media during that video, it just enforced on the way that I was thinking, that, you know, could this be something that nobody's really paying attention to? I mean, there's some other folks out there that kind of see it that way too, but it's not being really talked about because he did his whole leaving and his thing with the Mavericks and all of that kumbaya stuff that they did for Tony, which rightfully so, he deservingly earned and needs from that city. But I think that there's still more to come in that particular book.
Yeah, yeah. Who do you see this year? Are they the same suspects as the years before? The Giants. How do we always end up with the Giants on the first game? I don't get that. Not, you know.
Well, you got to think about it. It's a big rivalry. I mean, you got to think. You know, the commissioner does what's good for the league.
Right.
Everybody knows how prominent Jerry is in terms of making the league money. I mean, we're America's team. You know, we got our own practice facility. If you look at what we're head and shoulders above any other franchise that's out there, Jerry is the ultimate businessman. He's always been knocked on that for years, but stepping away and allowing others to get involved with the process of building this team and this culture has directly benefited that organization through the draft and what they've done. But it's just about money. We paid the NFL's light bills last year. I've said this many times when I went live last year after the wins that we had, that the Dallas Cowboys kept getting moved to primetime TV because of the views.
Right.
We saved the NFL last year.
No, there's no question about it.
People were watching primetime TV to watch the Cowboys. So, opener game against New York, Why not? They beat us 2-0 last year. It's a perfect storyline. They beat us 2-0 right. last year. Everybody is going to watch it, including every fan and every hater of the Dallas Cowboys. And they're going to be tuned in on that game. And it's a primetime game, first game of the year, and it's going to break record numbers. So it's all about business at the end of the day with the commissioner and Jerry.
It just seems to me, that's great what you're saying. It seems to me, though, pal, and you may agree on this one, it just seems like every year we do so much for the NFL and we get so little in return from the commish or on our calls with players being suspended. R served the 6, 7, 8 games. He never gives us any slack on that. And when we're talking about something on the lines of, I don't know, maybe I am conspiracy, but there were a couple calls there where the refs just seemed like they were out to get us. I don't know. Maybe a couple years back when Green Bay, that was a catch, man. That was a catch to this very day. That's a damn catch.
I agree.
And you know what? If you call the New York referees on that play, if I'm the commish, I'm going, this is our piggy bank we're talking against. Give them the call. Yeah. Let's settle this right now. What the hell are you guys talking about? But it seems like we've had the bad calls.
Yeah, you know, we do get our share or probably more of bad calls, and then they're amplified because everybody's watching too. So that, you know, everybody else that are kind of in that predicament gets overlooked because there's not a magnifying glass on them. But we've had our fair share of people missing things on us too as well, contrary to what fans may want to say. But we've had some breaks also. Now, does it equal to the amount of things that counted against us? No, I don't agree so. But, hey, there's an old saying, heavy is the head that wears the crown. You know, Jerry is the crown of the NFL. America's team is the crown of the league. It just comes with the territory, and we've just got to elevate ourselves and get to that next level, you know, so that way people won't have anything to say. You know, we'll just shut our haters up even more because they was quiet for 13 weeks last season.
Right.
And, boy, they came alive, you know what I mean, when we lost. But, boy, they were quiet for 13. They couldn't wait every week. They couldn't wait. I had people, you know, they're going down this week. You know, my following and with my group, people just could not wait. And then when we lost against Green Bay, I got roasted. I got the Michael Jordan face.
Yeah.
So, you know, it happens.
I couldn't talk to anyone for at least 2 days. I closed the office door. I didn't want to see anyone. It was like someone in the family, distant family, of course, died or something like that. It was rough. It was rough on me.
Yeah. It was very emotional.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't do it. And then on top of that, what really pissed me off, Barry, was that damn kicker. He kicks a 51, 52, 59, 70-yard, whatever he's been kicking, and he goes against Atlanta, and he misses a 38-yard field goal. And I'm like, why couldn't you miss that one time against us?
Jono, there's a silver lining in this, and you've got to be an optimist and a pessimist at the same time. And
talk to me. Be my counselor, Barry.
If we would have went all the way to the Super Bowl last year and won it, what do we have to strive for this year?
Yeah, but
those kids would have had immediate success.
Okay.
You think about it. You know what I mean? You give, you got kids, I got kids, you give them everything all up front, they have nothing to work for.
Yeah.
Now, that's just the pessimist inside of me. The optimist says, hey, look, there's silver lining in that. They needed to get, we needed as fans and as a team to take that loss so we could build us for the long term. That character that they got by going through that adversity and being able to reflect upon moving forward is going to make them stronger, because whatever, you know, whatever doesn't kill us makes us stronger, right?
Right.
But I think they're always going to have that as a talking point to reflect back to, and we're going to see them bounce back this year because now of the pieces, now of the culture, now of the timing. And, you know, we may not, you know, Vegas is predicting us, what, 9.5 wins? But it doesn't matter. Just make the playoffs, win the division, make the playoffs. Who cares about if we, you know, go undefeated, rattle off 13 in a row? As long as we win our division and get into the playoffs, that's when it's really going to count.
So they're saying that we're going to win less than 9, but over or 10 games? I think we could do 10 games. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they got us figuring in at 9.5. They're saying Dak's going to have a slump. He's going to have sophomore blues. We've got a tougher schedule. I think we're in the top I think we have the number seventh strength of schedule in the league against top teams that were above 500 last year. So you add that and a sophomore slump and, you know, haters just talk. I mean, if you looked at the Vegas odds last year before the season, totally different than where they ended up at in terms of the season. So I don't really – that's a good talking point. Yeah, historically, statistically, they can look at all of that stuff, but you can't determine heart. You can't determine passion. You can't determine hard work. And I think that culture and that locker room is going to get us over the top this year because it was just beginning last year. And now this year and that loss that we took last year, they've got to build upon that. And they know every snap, every play matters. And we're going to see a different Dallas Cowboy team that we haven't seen in a number of years this season.
No, you're definitely right. And I cannot wait. You know what's really, really good about this team that 2 years ago, we'd have like, and you'll agree with me, Barry, we'd have like third down and less than a yard, third down and one, and damned if we didn't walk off the field because we didn't get that fourth down. We didn't make it. We didn't make it. It became fourth down. And I tell you what, now third down and one, I know Zeke's going to get that 1, 2, 3 yards every time. Every time. If it's 1 yard to go, we were probably one of the worst teams 2 years ago. And now this guy here, he can get us that 1 yard. That's all, and keep the chains rolling. It's unbelievable.
Well, you look at it from a player's perspective, but you also look at it from a leadership and coaching core. What they got to draw upon from that last year too, and we did. We made some better calls last year offensively because we obviously got some better weapons, and we converted a lot more on third down. I mean, look at that whole thing against Philadelphia. That was a tough game. But when the punter runs for however many yards, you know what I mean, on a trick play,
right,
that gives confidence between your leadership and, you know, your coaching staff and your team that you're going to gamble on some plays and not always reserve to, I'm worried about if I make this call, I may get fired, or I'm worried about, you know, whatever the case, whatever they got going on. Now they've got those little things like that to draw upon that they're going to be able to convert this year, and it's going to be the difference. Those little key little changes incrementally. If you look over the years, yeah, we've always played it safe, third and whatever, you know, Tony's dropping back to pass. And then, you know, defenses knew that.
Right.
You know, we'll make Tony beat us. You know, they've got a good offensive line, but we've had less than stellar running backs. Even though I hate to say McFadden's less than stellar, he put up 1,000 yards. Alfred Morris is a great veteran, but, I mean, they're not freshly legs like, you know, Zeke getting back there and eating up defenses and inviting contact and getting that 3 or 4 yards after contact every time.
Right, and we've seen it in the draft. We attacked every position. We got every position that we really needed. Even on the punt return, I was never sold on Lucky. I mean, he made me nervous back there every time he caught the ball. Now we went out and got a kid out there, and you know what? Anyone that what did he put in his mouth? What kind of tattoo is that? What does that say?
Who are you talking about, Ryan Switzer?
Yeah, he put down the Well, I think it's like unbelievable or something. How the hell can you do that? I mean, this guy's an animal. I love this kid. I think he ran like he brought back 7 touchdowns on punt returns. That's what we need.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
the
tired.
Kid's electrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, he's already impressing in OTA. So you know, Lucky has been put on notice. And, you know, I think that he's got a lot to prove. And if he doesn't make every step correctly, you know, you got a young kid in Switzer chomping at the bit to get in there to prove what he can do. I really like the fact that we went out and got Xavier Woods, Marquez White. I mean, we've got some great, you know, Chidobe Awuzie, which will ever be synonymous with Drew Pearson and that classic trolling of the Philadelphia fan base there at the draft.
Wasn't that beautiful?
Yo, my goodness. This kid, Chidobe, I'm telling you, we're going to see some young kids back there, you know, with Skandrick, and they're going to make some plays. They're going to be trying to knock some people out and make some interceptions and make some game-changing plays to get themselves, you know, on the map with the Dallas Cowboys on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, I tell you what, brother, I cannot wait. I can't wait. And you know what? When we do our games, we do our games in the studio, and there'll be like 3 or 4 of these that we throw, and we'll do FaceTime Live, and we'd love to have you on our show, you and all our callers out there. I mean, it's going to be a good time. When football season's Here, man, it's just a whole different ball game. I love getting my whole downstairs ready for it.
Yep. America's new favorite pastime is the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a big baseball fan, but they've always said that. But NFL is ruling the roost. They're the big paycheck cash cow. And, I mean, everybody tunes in every weekend and watches, and it's going to be an exciting season. I can't wait either, and I look forward to jumping on you guys' show. Jono, I appreciate you having me on today. Thanks for shouting out my group on your other podcast shows and you know, participating in our group. And, man, it's going to be a great season.
Barry, give a shout-out to your site again, babe.
Yeah, it's Official America's Team. That's the Facebook group. You can find us on Facebook at Official America's Team also. That's our page name, but the actual name is the Legacy Group, and then at Official America's Team on Instagram. We've got a raving fan base. We've got great conversation. We're the first ever, you know, Facebook group. We've got our own site. We've got bloggers from within our group. We've got folks in our group running our fan pages. It's a collective effort. It's just a great bunch of people. Come join us. Let's experience this season together.
And you know, the thing about Barry's site is he'll ask you a question out there. How is it being loyal? What is the word loyalty to being a Cowboy fan? And I'll tell you what, you just get a lot of people to answer. I kind of answered, and next thing you know, I got 7-8 thumbs up on it when I said, you know what, I may have to dump my wife before I dump the Dallas Cowboys. I grew up with them, man. That's my 2-3 hours, and you'll probably agree with me on this, Barry. How fast does a damn Cowboy game go? I mean, it just flies by,
yeah.
And I'm like, you got to be kidding. It's already halftime. It's already halftime,
yeah.
And it's almost 2 minutes in the fourth quarter. It just flies when I'm watching a Cowboy game.
Right. So. I agree. That does go by fast.
All right.
It's because we love it so much. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, leaving your wife, that's pretty loyal. Again, because I'm working on some pieces now leading into the season on – you know, what does it mean? What are the common threads among the Cowboy fan base on what it means to be loyal to the star? Because everybody's got their own interpretation of it.
All right, Barry. All right. Stay in touch. We'd love to have you back on the show. And, man, keep doing what you're doing. We need Cowboy fans like you and Cowboy people that are knowledgeable. I get so sick and tired of when I run into people that say you're bandwagon. Man, I've been with the Cowboys since Tony Dorsett. That was my favorite player in the world. I had Tony Dorsett on my wall, and then guess what? Another Philadelphia 76er named Julius Irving on the other side of the wall, and on the other end was Pete Rose. So, yeah, I didn't grow up in Dallas, but, man, I looked at these players, and there was a lot of loyalty, and I said, you know what, where this guy goes, I'm going to follow. And Tony D went to Dallas, and I said, man, look how good he looks in that uniform. He had the towel hanging down. I mean, when you wear that silver star and you just look good, man. I played football. I looked like a sloppy mess when I was out there. But when you see the Cowboys run out there, it's something special. And I hope you guys have a great, great time checking out his site, Barry's site here, and hit a big like. And, Barry, we'll stay in touch.
All right, John, I appreciate you having me on the show, man. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Take care.
All right.
All right. Are you there, Barry?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Good show, brother. Good show.
Oh, yeah.
It was 41 minutes, but you know what? That's great. Now I'll hit the ending, give a little shout-out to our sponsor, and we'll end it at that. But you did great, man. That was
Appreciate it, man.
I couldn't have done it without you today.
Yep. Anytime you need me, man, just hit me up. Give me some notice. You know what I mean? I'm moving around and busy, but as long as we can get at least a day ahead of notice, we can work something out.
Perfect. And this show right here will come out probably Monday morning. So real early Monday morning. So
so once it posts, just send me a message, and then, you know, I can just share it in the group, and then I'll inform my admins that anything that comes from you, Jono, you can just share it in our group, and we'll just make it a collective effort, all right?
Beautiful, beautiful. Take care, buddy.
All right, you too, Jono. Later.
All right, folks, that was Barry Gibson. Barry Gibson, he's got his own site, and I tell you what, man, we need more Cowboy fans like this, and he kind of rejuvenates me in this. I mean, I'm ready to go now, and I talked to him for 40 minutes. I'm ready to put on the pads and get out there myself. It's unbelievable how much love we have for our Cowboys. The hell with all of them bandwagon my ass. We've been Cowboy fans for a while. And you know what? If you want to be a bandwagon, I don't care. I'd love to have more Cowboy fans. So that's what it's all about anyway. So in any case, we had a great show. My partners, no partners today. It was me by myself in the studio. And thank God I had Barry Gibson. Barry chimed in, and it was great here. So thank you so much, Barry. And, hey, Cowboys out there, check out our site at cowboyspodcast.com. And on that note, there's an Amazon to your right-hand side. Click on Amazon. Buy whatever you want to buy. We get a little love back from Amazon. Keeps the lights on, and that's all we're looking for right now because we got a long season ahead, and we can't wait to keep doing these shows with you guys. So stay tuned, and we'll see you guys next week. Take care from Jono and my invisible crew here. We are out of here.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.